Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donny the Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
Donny the Donaldson is back again. Hello, Chris Broad. How are you, mate? I am terribly sunburned, Chris Broad. I went out in the sunshine. It's been very hot here in London lately, and we don't have such mod cons as air conditioning, so people are getting very hot and angry, possibly a little horny as well, because it's weird. And I'd sat out on a deck chair, fell asleep, and I have burned my bod, rather badly, actually. It was, like, blistering, and now I have what can only be described as a map of Portugal on my chest. And it's very upsetting.
You're not someone that tans well, are you?
Oh, no. I'm not as bad as some. I'm not Viking blood kind of thing. I'm from the northeast, Chris. We're not gifted with the sun very often, so our bodies go, what the hell is that burning ball of gas in the sky? We're not getting involved with that kind of rubbish.
When I heard about the weather in the UK, it's like 30 degrees or something, right?
Oh, it's crazy, yeah. 30 degrees. I'm going to watch The Cure tomorrow, and 30 degrees is going to be what it's going to be.
I don't know how you do it in the UK, because, I mean, it's 30 degrees here at the moment.
Mm.
Incredibly humid. Without aircon, I would be dead. Make no mistake. I walked into my apartment the other day, because I was away in Korea for a few days.
Yes.
I came back, opened the door to the apartment, and a week of, like, hot air that had, like,
came
just been
out.
Building up in the apartment rushed out. And it burnt my face. It was like opening an oven bloody door.
Oh, no.
And then I've had, like, the air conditioning machines running. I've got two. I've had them running, like, all day, every day, for the last week to try and get the room back in order. But, yeah, without it, I don't know how you can survive 30-degree heat anymore. So, long live aircon.
Yeah, I've got a couple of friends who are from, like, sort of Thailand and Indonesia, those sort of areas, and they, whenever they check into a hotel, wherever it is, wherever in the world, they insist on having a little bit of air conditioning in the room. They get very wound up if there's no air conditioning. They get very upset.
You need it. Absolutely need it. Anyway, good news.
Mm.
Heat aside and sunburns aside, good news from me is I finally bought a drone, Pete.
Oh!
Finally bought one.
Christopher Broad.
Million years in the making.
Well, you
gave in to peer pressure.
Yeah, you really did, didn't you? Was it because Maplin's in the UK, a big technology firm, they went bust and they were selling all their stock off cheap? Did you get an import?
I didn't. I just went on Amazon and bought a Mavic Air Pro. Reason Ooh. I did it is I've noticed whenever I use a drone in my videos, I think I've used it two or three times, I always get loads of people who don't normally comment saying, oh my goodness, the quality of the videos has really gone up. The production quality is so good now. It's like, if that's what it takes, if needing a drone is what it takes to get a bump in production quality or to get those comments, I need a drone. So I went out. I think it was about £1,000, $1,000 or something for the drone. And I'm going to use it in quite a few videos coming up in the sort of Japanese countryside.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, it is a good way of showcasing the mountains and, you know, the more rural areas, which is what I do. If
Definitely.
It was in a city, you can't use them here. They're really, like, against drones. Ever since some dickhead flew a drone into the Prime Minister's window or something. They've been really tough on it here.
Wow. Yeah,
basically,
I mean,
no rules.
If you're going to sneak around in the skies and, you know, want to look at Arbe's boobies from a window, like you deserve everything you get. Wow, that's incredible.
It it triggered a whole wave of legislation. But I think it was about a year or two ago. Before that, you could fly a drone wherever you want. You go in McDonald's, pull out a drone. Go in a coffee shop, pull out a drone. Have a bit of fun. But now, it's like, nowhere near a city. You can really use it. So yeah. I'm in Sendai. I want to test fly my drone. I don't know where I'm going to be able to do it, really. I'm going to have to, like, disappear into a hill or a mountain and try it there. But I'm filming out in Yamagata, which is a more rural area. And I'm going to have fun with it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet, but I'm going to have fun with it. Maybe I can make a little video, like, chasing Natsuki across a beach with it. Like, just chasing Natsuki.
Are you a good deft drone pilot? Because you see some of these guys who fly these drones. There was a really famous video of a man flying a drone, and he flew it like round a train. So like those kind of big Canadian, possibly American trains that go across country, and they're really slow. Well, they're pretty nippy when they get up to speed, but they're carrying so much cargo, they're quite slow. And he would fly them into the you know, like what hobos ride the rails. They just get in the I hate the word hobos, but it's connected to the train riders of the US, the hobo. It's a very romantic sort of vision of a man just getting on an empty cargo train and you know, going across town, going across city, going across state, definitely, going across the US. And this guy was flying his drone into like the carriages and then out again underneath the trains, over the top. He flew it into the window of the driver, who got very annoyed and shut the window. It was a beautiful piece of work. Try and dig it out if you can. Train, drone, stunt.
Well, a few weeks ago we talked about a Japanese video, didn't we? Those schoolgirls that used the drone going around the classroom, going in between desks and chairs up the corridor.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And that was really impressive. Mm. That was like a little tiny drone, so they could manoeuvre it around. That was amazing. I mean, I couldn't do that. I'm not a good drone pilot. I did play around with a friend's Mavic Air, which is the drone I've bought, Mavic Air, about a month or two ago, and I was terrified using it. You know, so I'm a bit nervous about doing it, especially as if it crashes or if it's gone in a river or the sea, it's $1,000 gone in moments, right? But hopefully, if I train a little bit, I'm going to unleash it in my apartment, sit in the apartment for like a day or two and work it out. Hopefully, when I start using it next week, it'll be all right. But, yeah, I'm just glad to finally have one.
I find they're slightly, I think they're surprisingly loud. If you ever, I sort of borrowed one because my dad really wanted to play with a drone, but he didn't want to be one of those saddos that is like a man of advancing years with his own drone flying it around Hartlepool, because Hartlepool's quite rural where we're from. And so what I did was I borrowed a drone off the humorist and writer Danny Wallace, weirdly, and took it up north to see my dad, and we flew it around. My dad instantly crashed it to bits. Bit of polystyrene fell off it. We had to glue it back together. Dreadful.
It's awful, isn't it? I remember I got a little tiny drone that was like £10 for Christmas a few years ago. I just crashed it into my friend's face after a few minutes, and they were so angry, just having this little propellers like slam into their face and rip their cheek apart. So yeah, I'm a little bit worried about this, but hopefully I can do it. I can ramp up the production quality to levels that have never before been seen on the Raw in Japan channel.
Well, I can hear a crow outside your window. Maybe the drone could attack that crow that's...
You know what? For some reason, there's loads of hawks and crows outside where I live. I live near a little river, and it's got like five or six hawks that fly over it all day. One time I was sitting down by the river eating a sandwich, and I held it out slightly, and the hawk swooped down, grabbed the sandwich. I didn't even see it coming. It came from like behind me, swooped down, grabbed the sandwich and disappeared. So maybe now I've got a drone, I can enact some revenge upon those hawks.
They can they can smell death. You're dying, Chris. They can smell it. They're waiting for you to pass on. They're going to eat your body.
Speaking of death, I suppose that's a dark way to lead into the article of the week, which is about a Japanese castaway. Which you sent me, so don't do your surprise noise. You sent me this article.
I was just, look.
In fact, yeah, you can...
Stop letting people through the curtain. Why are we talking about this, Chris? This is rubbish.
Behind the scenes of the Abroad Japan podcast.
They found this bloke. There's a naked.
They found this bloke.
There's a naked Japanese hermit who lives on an island, and he's been kicked out of his place. Basically, he Masafumi Nagasaki. He arrived on the island of Sotobanari on the. It's testing me pronunciation here.
Yes. So basically, this dude has been living on a little island south of Okinawa for like 30 years.
Yeah.
He was disillusioned with humanity 30 years ago. Apparently, he was fed up with pollution that he saw in a river, and he thought, right then, I'm off. And he went to this little island of Sotobanana, to put it in your words. little island south of Okinawa, pretty remote. Nobody lives there. And he's been there 30 years, walking around naked, eating, drinking, and living in like a pile of mud. Fair play to him. Like, they call him the Robinson. They call him Japanese Robinson, a reference to Robinson Crusoe.
I like the idea of Japanese Robinson, though. A reference to Robinson Crusoe, obviously. But, like, the Japanese Robinson. Beautiful. Masafumi Nagasaki.
Japanese Robinson. He's a good lad. But he, unfortunately, he's in his 80s now. And he caught influenza recently, and somehow he was spotted walking around looking a little bit sick. I think some fishermen often go around the island and have a look out for him while they're fishing, and they saw him not looking too well, and so the Japanese government decided it's time to get him and pounce on him. They dispatched a ship, they grabbed him, and he was too weak to fight
Fend
back,
them off.
And they took him back to Ishigaki, the lovely picturesque island where my good friend Ryotaro goes every year, I think, on holiday. Lovely island. But he went to Ishigaki, and they've left him there, and they won't let him go back to his island now that he's recovered, unfortunately. So he wanted to die on the island. He wanted to pass away on this island he'd called home for 30 years, and he can't do that now. So that's a little bit sad, isn't it?
A little bit. They're very sad, but, you know, sometimes you've got to protect people from themselves if they're going to die of, like, influenza for no good reason. How did he catch it? Who gave him the flu? How did he catch the flu on an island that nobody lives? Who gave him that?
There's often, I think, often film crews turn up. I think Vice did a documentary on him not too long ago.
Okay.
It's probably a film crew rocked up, filmed him, gave him influenza, and that was his downfall, being on Vice.
Fucking Vice.
That was it. But, he doesn't like humanity and pollution. There was a really nice quote from an interview from, I think it was not a Vice documentary, but someone else interviewed him. And he was talking about how he lives alongside animals and how he's been bitten by mosquitoes and snakes and things. But rather than hate them, as we all do, I mean, who doesn't like mosquitoes? He embraced them. He was like, there's a nice quote. He said, "Animals don't attack without purpose. Even a mosquito only bites to survive and reproduce. Humans, however, don't attack with purpose." And he's sort of saying that, you know, animals, the only reason they attack us is just because they have to. They do it to survive, whereas humans are not rational. We look for a fight down the pub, get a few beers in.
We lash out.
Fight. There's no logic there. It just happens. So
that's a really adorable story. And what I like about it is, like, that if you took him anywhere else in the world, because Japan is so clean. It's so clean and tidy. Imagine him going to, like, China. Just get on a boat, go to China, see how things happen over there, and you will probably appreciate that Japan's probably a little bit tidier than you think, mate, to be honest.
That's right. Yeah, it was a weird excuse, wasn't it, to just see some pollution in a river and just disappear to an island for 30 years. Anyway, I mean, I quite want to live on an island, but I don't think it would be 30 years, and I don't think it would be because I looked at a dirty river.
No.
It would just be, I'm fed up of social media and I want to just hide away and read a book. Like, I don't think he took much with him. If you look at the video, if you look him up, just look up Masafumi Nagasaki or Japanese Robinson. Check him out. You can see his little camp. It's like a little tent. He's got like a barbecue going. He just sits there cooking things. He has to catch and forage for food on the island. I think he has fish. He pretty much ate anything. But it's a lovely little setup. There's something quite romantic about it. I'd like to try it for like 3 or 4 days. 30 years.
That's just a holiday, Chris.
3 or 4 days.
He's in great nick, to be fair. From the video, he's in fantastic nick. He must do sit-ups or something. But it certainly agrees with him, I think.
He's catching all those fish. Yeah, he's in good shape. If you do watch the video, be aware he is. He is rather naked. isn't the highlight of the video, but it got me reading about, like, more Japanese folks that have hid out on islands. Like, I read some articles in the past of Japanese holdouts, people that stayed hidden after World War II in islands in, like, the Pacific. Pacific. Why do I say Pacific?
The specific Pacific.
Got a lispful or something. Pacific. Not that I did. Shoichi, the most famous guy, is a chap called Hiro Onoda. And he, after World War II, after 1945, he spent 29 years hiding out in, like, a cave in the Philippines. And he just refused to surrender. Like, a lot of people knew where he was, and they would drop, like, pamphlets on the forest so you'd see it and see that Japan had surrendered. But he thought it was propaganda from the Allies, and he refused to surrender until his superior officer, who by that time, 29 years later, was, like, working in a bookshop somewhere in Tokyo. And they sent him all the way down to the Philippines to convince him that the war was over and it was time to come home. And this guy was so famous after he went back to Japan because he kind of... It showed this level of honour that's rarely seen, you know, fighting to the end. And I think he apologised to the emperor for not winning the war or not for, like, giving up in the face of battle or whatever. But he was on Japanese TV. He nearly wrote... He wrote an autobiography called No Surrender, My 30-Year War. And so it's just amazing. Like, 30 years, how did he do it? Living in a cave in the Philippines. That's dedication we don't normally see.
Yeah, dedication to man rather than yourself. dedication to a made-up war. Dedication to, you know, conflict. Dedication to, you know... I do feel sorry for that gentleman, to be honest. I think, yeah, there is something to be said for, you know, ploughing a furrow. To the bitter end, but then there's also he's going to die soon, and he's lived 30 years by himself because of a fucking war. It angers me.
There's quite a few people that did this. There's a lot of guys. Another guy, Shoichi Yoko, he didn't surrender until 1972. He'd hidden in a cave in Guam, and nobody knew he was there until about 1972.
Right.
And he was discovered in the jungle by two fishermen that were wandering around. And they got in a scrap with him because old Yokoi thought they were, like, the enemy or something. They got in a fight, they captured him, and in the end he returned to Japan. And he apologised. He said, It's with much embarrassment that I return. And that phrase became a popular saying in Japan to epitomise this sense of loyalty in battle. And he became, like, a popular TV personality as a result. Yeah. And now in Guam, there's actually a cave. Yokoi's cave became, like, a tourist attraction that you can go and see it. And it's a lovely looking cave, all very kitted out in bamboo.
He kept it nice. There. You'd hope so, wouldn't you? Loyalty. You can't get IKEA down there, can you?
Well, the Philippines.
Yeah, in a cave, I guess.
No, you can't.
There was a rich... American benefactor. I think he died in Texas only a few years ago, possibly a little bit less than that. And he was funding lighting and, like, generator power for a community of people who lived in the caves of somewhere in China. I want to say Hebei province. There was a lot of people who used to live in a cave, and the government just kept on trying to coax them out of this cave. But this guy in America fell in love with the cave dwellers, who, you know, were very modern. They had, you know, they had mobile phones and stuff, and they had bits and bobs, but they just lived in caves. They just decided that, yeah, I want to live in a cave. And the government would just keep on trying to get rid of them out of these caves. There was no reason for them to do that. They were just like, this is a bit weird, let's get them out of there. And this rich benefactor in America, he fell in love with the community and just basically funded lighting and generator resources and stuff like that for this
community. Money well spent.
Money well spent, exactly.
Yes,
I believe that. Yes, they still are. Thanks to him, mainly. So there we go.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Fucking horrible! Oh.
Wow!
I'll tell you what they didn't have in that cave though.
What?
A fax machine.
Got no emails. That was so buttery smooth.
That's right. The reason I do these podcasts is I like to learn how to transition between segments. I'm getting better. Fax machine. Your questions, guys. You've sent a lot of questions in recently.
Mm.
We're here to answer them for the rest of the podcast. First question comes from Elena. Hi, Chris and Pete. Greetings from your homeland, England. Liverpool, to be exact. Never been to Liverpool, actually. You've been there, right, Pete?
I've been there twice. Twice I've been there, but only for like an evening. One of those places that I've just got no business to be there, so I just never have really spent that much time there. I have no business. I have no business in Liverpool. But yeah, crazy place.
If you could sum it up in two words, what would those words be?
Oh, they like a drink.
And the music,
they like a drink. Question. And the Beatles have cast a long shadow,
like,
let's just say that.
Let's not, man. I'm not going to make assumptions about Elena here. But yes, question for Chris. You've said quite a few times that your dream is to become a filmmaker. How are you improving your skills for the videos? Have you read any books or attended any events? What would you suggest for someone who wants to start on this journey?
Buy a drone.
Kisses Elena. Yeah, buy a drone. There you go, Elena. I don't, is her name Kisses Elena, or is that just Kisses/Elena?
Kisses Elena sounds like a wicked emo.
That'd be a great
band.
Name, wouldn't it? Kisses
yeah.
Elena. Well, Kisses Elena. I try and watch a film every day at the moment, actually. I find with any art, you kind of have to study it and just watch it. With film, I've just been watching like one film a day. Obviously, YouTube itself is a very practical thing. So the good thing is, I'm out there making videos in the field a lot. I edit a lot, so I'm kind of learning as I do. And having made 130 videos now, that's a lot of experience. Oof. A lot of practical experience. But I do read a few books, but mainly it is just watching films, playing around with a camera, and soon playing around with a drone. And hopefully when I get that drone, you'll be blown away by the level of skills. But yeah, no, just study. If there's something you're passionate about, go out and study it. I've talked to people that have been to film school, and half of them say it's good. The other half said it's an expensive waste of time that you could be spending on making your own films and stuff. So yes, I won't be going to film school. I will just be learning myself and making things and hopefully building a portfolio. But yeah, just do it. That's my advice. Just do it.
Just do it. Well, maybe your videos have influenced some people to start their own channels and film their own stuff, maybe, if they live in an interesting place.
You haven't started a channel.
I haven't started a channel, no.
Waiting on that.
World Cup's on, mate. World Cup's on.
And then after
what
it ends,
did somebody come up with? Was it didn't somebody have a dream on a previous podcast?
Somebody, yeah, a few weeks
that,
ago.
A Pete in Japan, and it was just a crap rival YouTube channel. We just walk around going, I'm loving a beer now.
I live to see that day. I live to see it.
I'm gonna find the login for your channel. I'm gonna say change it all of the all of the graphics to a Pete in Japan. It's not even a pun anymore.
Oh god, I've been waking up that morning. That'd be a dark day. Don't know how to act. Not well.
No. We got an email from, I think it's Licker. Hello, Chris and Pete. I'm Licker, or possibly Licky, from Denmark. I'd love to hear you attempt to say my name. Licky Lee is an artist, a recording artist, Licky Lee. So, actually, to be honest, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. So I think it might be Licker from Denmark. I really enjoyed
it.
L-Y-K-K-E. So I'd say Licker.
Like.
Licker.
Like, innit?
Or Liker?
Like. Like the camera.
Licker. Yeah. Taxomica. I really enjoy listening to your podcast every week. What's the coldest and warmest weather you've ever experienced in Japan? I imagine up north you've experienced some very cold weather, Chris.
Yeah. Well, actually, no. It doesn't get too cold here. It gets very snowy. But the coldest I've ever experienced in Japan is probably -6.
Whoa.
but it's more because the air is very humid here.
Mm.
It generates a lot of snow. And it feels like... I met a girl from... what's the city in Russia? Yakutsk. You know, the Russian city in the Far East.
Fascinating place.
Yeah, she said it gets to like -30 there, which is an unfathomable amount. But she said that actually Japan felt colder because of the humidity.
Right.
Which I don't know if she was exaggerating or not, but I see what she meant in the sense that you really feel the coldness here. It feels very damp. It feels like it penetrates through your clothing.
Mm.
So even if it is -2 or -3 or whatever, it feels a lot colder than it feels in the UK. Like, it feels horrible. I hate it. And I hate Japanese winters. So, yeah, maybe only -6. As for the summer, interestingly, Yamagata Prefecture, where I used to live in the north, though it is in the north, it had a record for having the hottest temperature in Japan. I think it's because there's lots of mountains which
right.
are trapped in the heat.
Mm.
That's my crappy opinion as someone that knows nothing about climatology. But they had a recorded temperature of like 45 degrees or something.
Jesus,
and
Celsius.
I felt, yeah, I know. It's horrific. I think the highest temperature I've experienced here is 38 or 39, and that was just, it's horrible. I mean, I can't go out in 30 degrees, let alone that, so...
The humidity
Japan is
help.
Exactly. Japan's the land of the rising temperature. Like, it sucks. Like, summer it's horrible, winter it's horrible. Avoid both. That's my advice there.
Yakutsk is a really interesting. I mean, such an interesting place because it's one of those places that you can only. I think there's only a flight in from St. Petersburg every week and a flight out, I think, every week. And ethnically, it's really interesting because these guys, they look almost Chinese, but they're
I think they're
kind of like a cross between Russians and Chinese, and they have a very different outlook to everybody else in the entire part of the world they inhabit. And Yakutsk, I think, has the biggest swing in the world of temperatures, so it can get to, like, 30 degrees. They've got a big swing.
Getting well excited.
They've got a big old swing. But, like, they've got, like, I think there's a lot of farming out there. I think that's their main kind of thing. But, like, there's the biggest swing. It can be, like, -46, -50, whatever. But it can also be +30. And we're talking Celsius here, which is ridiculous. We're not talking Kelvin or even Fahrenheit. We're talking Celsius. So, it's a really interesting place. You sort of look at the faces of the people and you got to go, whoa, you're like nobody. You're like nobody in the world. You're so unique. I really want to go there one day. Whoa! I really want to go there someday, but, like... It's really hard to travel in when it's ridiculously cold, but then if you travel in when it's, like, pretty warm, you're like, what's the point in doing this? You got to go there when it's doing the thing that it's famous for, being incredibly cold.
It's insanely remote. Although you pretty much... Actually, when you fly to Japan, to the UK, Japan, the UK, you do fly over it.
Or
certainly very near it.
Yeah, they...
So you can look out the window at it.
Have a little peek. The last time I came to Japan and went up to Sapporo, the difference between, like, even Tokyo and Sapporo, like, they're not, 8 hours drive? It's not a million miles away. It's quite a long country. But, like, I had to go out and buy thermals for me and my friend because we were just so bloody cold. It was so freezing all the time. And you're right, the humidity does kind of penetrate the clothes a little bit more, I think. I had woolen trousers on. I had to have thermals on top of that. And this was only, like, October. I was very chilly.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a 90-minute flight, and the temperature disparity, it's like 10
Crazy.
Degrees difference.
Crazy.
Funny old country, isn't it?
It's a funny old country. Do you want a quick... do you want another one? I know it's your turn, but I thought, I'll bash it out, because I'm hot. I'm hot, mate. I'm just having a sip of coffee.
Roll.
Ben! Hello, Ben. Gentle Ben. Hi, guys. Really love the podcast. It makes my walk to work a lot better and starts my day off right. In September, I'm starting university to study Japanese. The course starts from scratch and they expect you to know next to nothing about the Japanese language. However, I have all summer to do nothing until my course starts, so I thought I may as well get a head start. I've learned the hiragana and I'm learning the katakana. Can you suggest anything else I should learn that will give me a head start for my course? I met someone who I'd not met before. I won't name and shame, but he's been kind of like, you know, working away over the last couple of years to get his Japanese, like, diplomary sort of thing, just by himself, just no course, no nothing, just doing it himself, I believe. Right. And he sort of said that he's, you know, he could get a job as like a non-skilled kind of worker out there. Like, he could be one of those guys with the flags outside the car parks, because he knows that amount of Japanese. Yeah. I was like, that's a pretty high bit of Japanese, and he's not been doing it for very long. So if you knuckle down, Ben, who knows where you'll go?
Well, what I'll say to Ben, who's starting in September, is try and just get a head start, really. I mean, you've learned hiragana and katakana. That's great. Get an app called Human Japanese. That's what I used in the early days. It's a really good app. I think you can get the free version or you can pay for it if you like it. Mm. But they've got a lot of vocabulary on their key phrases and grammar. They explain it really well. It's great fun. I would avoid buying a textbook, or if your university has got a textbook that they want you to buy it early and just start working through it. I find if you start learning something before you begin at university, you have a real advantage. Like, if you walk into that classroom, you can feel smug knowing that you're a few steps ahead of everyone, right? Mm. Like, I did a degree in like business and linguistics. And the modules that I did really well in were things that I already knew quite a lot about that I'd studied for in advance or read about, like marketing. I nailed marketing because I read lots of books about marketing because I loved it. Mm. Whereas accounting, I've nearly failed because I hate accounting and I don't know why it's a thing. But like, just try and learn as much as you can. Look at the course in advance, right? Look at the course modules and whatnot. Try and learn anything you can, key vocabulary. And then you'll have a major advantage. You'll feel motivated. You'll be the top of the class. And then you'll win at life. So there you go, Ben. Good luck to you, mate.
Fantastic. Exactly. Just enjoy yourself, man. Enjoy yourself. Knuckle down. It's a real trip. I'd love the opportunity to focus on one thing and one thing alone. Because I guess you're kind of the same, because you've got so many little projects going on. You've got so many bits and bobs, so many irons and fires. It would be really nice to kind of just shut everything down and go, right, I'm taking 2 years out, I'm going to do this, I'm going to learn this, and I'm going to come out with something really useful and really positive. Actually, the footballer, we were talking about soccer a little bit earlier on the last podcast in the World Cup. Keisuke Honda. Obviously, a man who's, I think he's about 33, he's getting on a bit. He doesn't start every football match for Japan, but he's obviously one of the more famous footballers, Honda. And he's certainly very good in the last World Cup. But he was criticised for using the incorrect kanji in a piece he wrote or an announcement he made, or he used the wrong word. And basically, he went on Twitter yesterday to sort of go, I don't know all the kanji, but I choose my words like carefully or something like that. I'll have to send you the piece, Chris. It's really funny. He's like going, I am clever, honestly. People basically take the piss out of him because he's a silly footballer who can't speak or write kanji.
I mean, fair play to him. It's a nightmare. The Japanese literacy rate, there we go, is pretty high, though, something like 95%. It's one of the highest in the world.
Yeah.
They really drum it into you in the education system here. Learn the kanji, write them over again and again. I'm not surprised that he got a little bit of ire there. Depends on the words, really. Mm. Depends on how advanced they were.
I think he mixed up a word and sort of said his performance in the last game was acceptable. When he actually meant a bit shit. So it was kind of like, it was...
Maybe it was a deliberate act in that regard.
Yeah. I always find that footballers speaking in their own language, you know, foreign footballers speaking about the game, they always sound way more eloquent than ours. Like, we just have these kind of like same... Like, they just wheel out the same platitudes. Mm. Oh, I'm just looking forward to this next game, you know. I thought the lads played well. I just want to... Want to get on the next game and just get our heads down, knuckle down, work hard, and it's just like, oh, God. Well, say something interesting.
There's a sense of honour, I think, after a game in Japan. They're very humble about it. Got a message here from Sherry.
Sherry, mon Sherry.
She's pronounced the French way, so I'm presuming that's shall we? Anyway,
très bien.
Hey guys, do you have any advice for travelling alone in Japan, Tokyo, for a lady in her 30s?
Ooh.
Are there places to avoid? My friends and family are concerned that I'm going alone, but I keep assuring them that it'll be fine. I'm planning my first trip for Hanami season 2019. Also, I love Natsuki the movie, and I agree, Pete is more attractive than he makes himself out to be.
Yes!
Shelley.
That's going in the Pete is not as ugly as he thinks he is box. So, there we go.
A rapidly filling up box, by all accounts.
Yeah, but I'm not. Thing is, I'm not saying that because I'm like I'm fishing for compliments. I've lived with this face for a long time.
Have you? Tokyo's pretty safe. In fact, I don't know of any girls that have ever had anything happen to them in anywhere in Japan. Obviously, be careful on busy trains. There's a bit of a dodgy culture around sexual harassment on trains, aka people touching you inappropriately on trains. So keep an eye out there, just be careful, be vigilant. But generally, Japan is very safe. And I don't know of any personal stories or friends or people I know who have ever had anything bad happen. As I mentioned before in a podcast, the worst thing that I know of is a female friend had her underwear stolen off a clothesline. So that's a thing that happened.
Wow.
But just be vigilant. But generally, Japan is very safe. One of the lowest crime rates in the world. And if you are travelling alone, and you want some friends, as we mentioned in the last podcast last week, you can rent them now.
Rent a friend!
So you can do that. 8,000 yen. Why not hire a bodyguard? Go for it.
Chicane.
You'll be all right.
Chicane is the word You'll for pervert, right. Isn't it? When people shout that on tubes.
Yeah,
if you
correct.
Are feeling threatened by anyone on a train, you shout chicane and everyone goes, boo!
Or just shout in general and grab everyone's attention. Just go, oi!
To be honest, if you sneeze on a train, people are going to be looking over. It's fun. But the thing is, though, out of all of the countries in the world, like you could walk around with your wallet on your head, just balancing on your head, and you'd be fine. Like, it's the safest place in the goddamn world. You're going to have a lovely time, Shelley.
Do I smell a social experiment waiting to happen?
I do have a noticeably flat head.
Hey, dear, big forehead. That'll be a great video.
Heroic.
Pete in Japan.
I could attach it to my forehead. Beautiful. I'll get one of those little suction cups that you'd use to hold your GPS in a car and stick it to my forehead, and we'll just walk around Japan with my valuables
if
on
shore. If ever there was a way to launch the Pete in Japan channel, that video would be it.
What a stunt. What a stunt. That's about it for us, I think, Chris. I think we've got the end of another show. How did this happen?
They go so fast. But if you guys have your questions to send in, abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time as ever next Wednesday. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week and we'll see you next week. Have a good one. Fairly well.
Chris has got a drone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.